Well, good morning, and you're listening to The Wave Southend, your new go-to local mental health and wellbeing podcast. I'm Stuart, and I'll be your host for today's episode of The Wave. Today, we're going to be joined by a few guests, but starting off is a lady called Barbara Conte. So, Barbara, would you like to introduce yourself?
Hi, everybody. I am a 51 years old woman living in Southend. I have been here since 1998. But originally come from Italy, from Rome. I was raised and raised in Rome, studied there. I gained a university degree in politics, and I was working for an English firm when I decided to come to London, and that's where I met my husband. And we settled down here. So now we have a daughter. My daughter is at university in Nottingham, and yeah, we love living here. We love the community.
Okay, so how many years there does that make you be a Southend resident?
I'm struggling between being an Italian resident and a Southend resident. Right. I've almost reached the same years in Southend as in Rome. So, yeah,
wow.
difficult time now.
Okay, so just tell me a bit about what you do at Southend Adult Community College.
Yeah, right. So I started working here in 2007.
Okay.
The big shift in my career happened because of my daughter being born, and we were located here, although we worked in London, so I wanted to find something local that would allow me to pick her up from school and be her mum in the afternoon and enjoy the time with her. So I kind of thought, looking at my career, that I'd been teaching for most of my life in different capacities, in different ways. And so I thought of gaining a qualification. So I went to study ESO, and that's when a position came available at Southend College. They were looking for an Italian language teacher, which obviously...
You obviously fit the mold there. Then,
I was kind of, yeah. I wasn't thinking I would be teaching Italian, but yeah, it came at the right time. And so that's how I started. I then gained a teaching qualification with the college. I specialised in coaching, mentoring, and gained a postgraduate degree in education. And finally, I took a job for a coordinator. So I planned programmes for different parts of the college courses.
Okay. So you've been at the college 10 years or more?
Yeah.
You think? Yeah. Okay. So... obviously, you're here because you were talking about ways to well-being here at the college. So tell me then a bit about what well-being means for you. What's that concept?
Yeah, so well-being is a very important word, in particular right now after the COVID pandemic. It's a way of looking after your mind, your spirit, your body, gaining skills to find a place where we're happy at work, at home, with our family and friends. And ultimately, a way to learn about taking care of ourselves, really, and find the right balance between work, family life.
Which is sometimes really difficult, isn't it, for people to find that balance?
Very much so, yes.
So what made you want to work for this sort of thing? What was your driver for that, do you think?
Right, so working for the college was a bit fitted with my ethos. I wanted to do something that meant something for the community, possibly. I think it's important to give back, especially at a certain age. Working and teaching gives that a kind of fantastic outcome where you see people progressing and learning new skills, and you feel that that has had an impact in their lives and the life of their families. I think is extremely rewarding. So in terms of working for the well-being program, it came by chance. I was offered the opportunity to take over the program. We had opened it with a pilot in 2016. I only jumped in last year. And I picked up the program with a small amount of learners. And this year we hit, when we're still in April, and we already hit 255 students. So it's developing.
So how did Ways to Wellbeing come about? And was it your idea, or was it already here at the college, or what was?
It was already at the college. It was started, as I said, as a pilot in 2016. And at the time, we recognized there was a benefit for the learners to use a part of the fundings that were made available to the college and come and enjoy courses that would support their mental health.
So give me a flavour of what what sort of courses they are then?
So we have a variety of courses, all kind of activities covering health, personal development, creativity, cooking, art, fitness, computer courses, pottery, creative writing. And when we plan, we take into consideration and react to student needs, to community needs. And we are always open in discussions with GP surgeries, social prescribers and the council to see what is needed and obviously offer courses to support that.
So what's the benefit for me if I wanted to come on one of your Ways to Wellbeing courses? What would I get out of that?
Yes, so one of the first things that we have been told by the students, which ultimately are the most important voice in this, is that they've gained a sense of purpose, which for people that struggle with mental health is extremely important. Having something to do that, you know, it's happening that day of the week at that time, it gives them a kind of routine, which is extremely important when you're dealing with struggling to get up in the morning and seeing your day as something that you really want to get up for. So we've also noticed many comments said that they'd increased their energy levels, increased confidence. They felt that they were better at coping with stress, that they could find better ways to relax. Empowerment, we've been told they felt a sense of empowerment. Obviously learning new skills, which ultimately is the aim of the activity. So we plan a variety of courses so that each student can start, for example, I don't know, a cookery course, and then move on to for 5 weeks. Our courses are 5 weeks. So they're quite short, 2 hours a week courses. So they may start with a cookery course and then want to go and try creative writing and perhaps go out and do a fitness course like relaxation or yoga, and then maybe art or some creative craft. All activities that allow them to socialize, to meet other people, to find ways to think about their well-being, relaxing, perhaps using music, all little activities that help them and support them.
Okay, so tell me about, you know, about COVID then.
Unfortunately, everybody was hit, but in particular people with mental health issues. So for them, it was a real problem. And what we found after COVID is that they were really struggling to come back to college, because once you get familiar with feeling
safe,
protected,
at home and stuff,
at home, going out feels really, really scary and dangerous. And so we really patiently rebuilt the program, called our contacts, reopened the college with the knowledge that people would have taken time to come back.
Yeah.
But we put all our passion and work into this. We have fantastic tutors that are really professional and skilled in the sessions they deliver. We built also a database of students and organizations that know we deliver these courses. So as soon as they felt ready, they started coming back slowly. And then finally now we can say that they are really fully re-engaging with the program.
So just to sort of finish off then, so how do I know if I can come on one of your courses? Do I have to have any special recommendation from someone? How am I eligible to come on? And
right, so everybody is eligible.
Right.
We run interviews for new students, so they have to have an access interview and an end of course interview. They're very relaxed interviews where we're just checking on where they are, where they start emotionally, and where they are, where they finish, because it gives us an idea of how effective our courses are. We publish a leaflet which goes out to all our contact lists, including organizations that work with mental health, GP surgeries, as I said, social prescribers, and we have a list of students that receive our leaflets as soon as it's out. Our courses, we tend to run 6 courses a year, 6 to 7, from September to all the way to the summer. And each of those leaflets has 5 to 7 courses.
Okay.
So if a student, for example, wants to know, you can go on our website, southernair.co.uk. You can call in. Our numbers obviously are online, but it's 01702 445700.
And do I have to pay?
No, they're free of charge.
They're all free.
The most important thing is all our mental health courses are offered free of charge to all our students.
Wow.
So
okay.
Once you come in and you want to engage, I'm sure we will find a course for you, and you can start even just trying one and see if it fits with what you're looking for. People are made very welcome. We have a beautiful college. We're very, very lucky in Southend to have a community college, especially of this size. And we deliver all kind of courses. We have a beautiful cafeteria where people can sit and enjoy a cup of coffee with the company of others. We have free Wi-Fi to our students. So people are made welcome, and they can come and spend their time here with us and then enjoy our courses.
That sounds great. Okay. Well, thank you very much, Barbara, for coming in today and talking us through ways to well-being. Thanks again for giving up your time today.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you
very much.
Okay, thank you.
Hello, Dan.
Hello.
How are you today?
I'm very good.
Good. Okay, so would you like to, I know you very well, but for everybody else, would you like to introduce yourself?
I will. My name's Dan Newman. I've been at the college more years than I'd like to admit. I teach photography, Photoshop, creative writing, IT, and anything else that they want or offer, really.
Yeah.
I'm kind of quite happy to try my hand at various things, and in that way I'm learning too. And I think the college might be a bit biased, but I think it's a great place to work. Management's great. It's a really good atmosphere. And it's an interesting mix of people.
It is. I think this is what I've had a very similar conversation with a lot of people who work here, and students as well, that are either new or keep returning to repeat courses again or do some new courses, is that they just love the atmosphere here and the people and the staff. I think, I don't know how long, I've been here 12 years, so I think maybe, we've been here a similar...
Yeah, it's around about that. Let's just say it's around
We're going to say it's 12 years.
Yes. You wouldn't think that to look at us, though, obviously,
no,
would you?
You would think...
Maybe 12 months?
Yeah.
Straight from college?
Fresh from college. Yeah.
And I think it is quite a sociable place, like we were saying, and I must say I know at least two couples who've got together through... meeting in my classes, which is always sweet. And I always say, you know, if you get married, invite me to the wedding, I'll buy a new hat.
Yeah.
They haven't yet.
You're still waiting
but
for your
I am
invite.
Waiting, yeah. One day.
Yeah.
And it'll be all because of me.
Exactly.
Ish.
Yeah. You played your part.
Yes.
Yeah.
But obviously don't come here if you're expecting that. It's just two out of X amount of years.
Yeah. Oh, lovely. Well, today what we are going to be talking about is our ways to wellbeing courses that we provide here. So I've got a couple of questions for you.
Mm-hmm.
So what is it that you teach on the ways to wellbeing courses? So which courses out of the ones we do you provide?
Predominantly some pretty basic ICT courses, which you're much more of an expert than I am, to be honest. My girls were like, what, you're teaching computers, but you're rubbish. And that's kind of true. I mean, I'm all right, but I think it's good to do sort of a very basic one, a kind of beginner's crash courses. And, you know, nowadays, obviously, if you're not very computer literate, especially in the job market, it's going to really prove an issue. So it's very enjoyable doing computer courses, some retired types and all sorts of different ages, doing the basics of Word and internet email, and moving on to PowerPoint and Excel.
I mean, I know that obviously being involved in IT, I do appreciate all of that. Some people who aren't involved in IT think I'm sad, but I absolutely love PowerPoint. Anything to do with PowerPoint, I'm obsessed. I do, yeah. So when I used to teach PowerPoint, I used to really enjoy it.
It's a healthy obsession.
This is what I was thinking. I mean, I'm not going to say everyone else is as enthusiastic as me with PowerPoint. But no, I agree with what you said, that a lot of the topics that I've previously taught, a lot of the beginner's class to do with internet and things like that, is that everything is moving online nowadays. And even something as simple as filling out a form, most places will direct you to do it online. The days of handing in your CVs to places, like a paper version, are kind of over. I haven't heard of that for a while. Maybe you've got a couple of smaller businesses that still would ask you to do it that way, but a lot of it's all submitted online now, so you need to know how to fill in an online form. And there's always that it's assumed everyone knows how to use the internet. It's so not true. They don't. Mm. And that you're made to feel silly if you don't know how to use the internet. And that's why I like that we put on these beginner courses to kind of introduce you to that, so that you can understand maybe how to pay your bills online. Online banking is another one. I've always had people scared of online banking.
Yeah.
Kind of
apps. Pretty much all the banks have gone now, haven't
yeah,
they?
Yeah, there's not people in there anymore. Ones. Yeah, there's not people in there anymore. You'll go in there and you'll be either directed to use the internet, or you'll be asked to call up on the phone while you're in the bank. So it's really useful, I think, to show people how to use the internet. Like I say, not just on the computers and laptops, on your smartphone as well, because you can do everything on your smartphone now. I remember showing some students how to order takeaway on all the apps that you've got now, especially after COVID. So many of the restaurants went to move to doing takeaway as well. So why Ways to Wellbeing? What drew you to teaching on the courses, and why should someone enrol onto a Ways to Wellbeing course?
Well, if I'm honest with you, they asked me to do it, and I'm happy to do something like that. I mean, obviously, the thing about Ways to Wellbeing, the idea is, you know, there's a lot of people, especially you mentioned lockdown, I think that's exacerbated things, and social media. If you've got some issues, and if you suffer from anxiety, or you struggle socially, or you know, you find it hard to leave the house.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes people come to these courses and just them turning up is a big thing.
Oh, it is, yeah.
Which, you know, you can forget sometimes, I think. But, you know, you do feel like you're actually making a difference, which, you know, I've taught teenagers and all this sort of stuff, and sometimes you do feel that with them, but other times it's more of an antagonistic, you're kind of moaning and trying to get them to do something, and it's generally it's not like that. There is a good feeling where you feel you're helping people out and you can actually make a positive impact on their lives.
Yeah, I found it really rewarding. There's a lot of case studies that I've done with students that I'd previously taught on Ways to Wellbeing, because I did a few in the evening, those courses. And it was lovely to see the confidence grow in just a couple of weeks with the students that I taught. It was really, really rewarding. And I've always said that was my favourite part of teaching, was that that feeling that you'd get when you'd really made a difference and clearly made a difference to somebody's life. Yeah, that made me really happy. So it's nice to see. And I love that we put these courses on, because I do think it's really important to highlight things like you mentioned, anxiety, a lot of social anxiety, very common after COVID. And yeah, just them turning up is an achievement in itself. And I think that's really great. And it promotes... It's like a shared experience, I think, with the other students in the class. I found that they're people that they wouldn't generally meet outside of the classroom, but when they did meet each other and realised they had a lot of things in common, friendships were then built from that that never would have been built if they hadn't have attended those courses together.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, because there's an element of... it's quite random, but... Yeah, like you say, they're all in the same boat. They've got something in common straight away.
Yeah.
They're on the same course. I mean, I remember maybe a couple of years back, there was a guy who came, had a small business, and his wife had died, and she did all the invoices, everything on a computer and what have you. And, you know, so not only had he had a massive loss, but he was struggling with this side of things. And he came to me, and, you know, we didn't do internet banking because it's sort of quite tricky to do that in terms of, you know, you don't want to get into people's business.
Oh, exactly, yeah.
But just from doing a few, like a shortish computer course with me, then he was doing his own invoices. He was doing internet banking, his positive thing on with his business. But also, like, he sort of said, this has changed my life.
Yeah.
And it was really sort of, really kind of got to me. It was like, you know, just something like that, where you're just sort of going about your day-to-day thing, but, you know, from potentially quite a depressed state, things are on the up.
Yeah.
And what more can you ask for?
Exactly. Yeah. And I love hearing stories like that. So, who would you recommend your courses that you do on Ways to Wellbeing to?
Well, the computer courses, anyone who feels like they're getting a little bit left behind, who maybe struggle a little bit with phones and if they've got a laptop or computer or whatever. And generally, it's fairly basic, but not necessarily a bad thing, even if there's some stuff that some might know. For confidence and building up skills.
Yeah.
I do also teach creative writing, Ways to Wellbeing. And that's always very interesting, where I think writing, creative writing in particular, can be very therapeutic.
Yeah.
And sometimes I'll ask them to do a homework that I wouldn't necessarily even read myself, but it's like something about something from their childhood or something like a memorable event in their life. And, you know, we've all got stuff in the past that maybe we've dealt with or maybe we haven't dealt with very well. But something like that, potentially, could be a super cathartic and positive thing to then you can deal with whatever it is, or at least it's out there.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I think that's it is a very creative course, and people express themselves, and that's always really lovely to see.
Which is nice to have a safe space to do that in, to be able to express yourself. And another benefit of all of these courses is obviously they're free. So,
yeah.
And it can lead on to, I discussed this with a Ways to Wellbeing student a couple of weeks ago, that some of them are like taster courses that you can do without having to commit to anything long term. But if you really enjoy it, we then offer longer courses of that topic or that subject that you can then go on to afterwards. So there's a bit of progression there as well. With no pressure, there's just the option to do that if you'd like to, if it's something that you then find you're interested in. And you could then end up picking up a new hobby or something like that based off of these courses that you've done with Ways to Wellbeing.
Yeah,
which is nice.
Potentially a friendship group as well,
which
you can never predict. But like you said, I think sometimes those sort of friendships can really make a difference in people's lives.
Yeah.
And yeah, we can't say enough that it's free and it's open to all. And also, you know, recently we've had a lot of refugees coming in, specifically more recently Ukrainians. And you know, I've had people crying in the class because they've written something or it's brought back something. And I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing.
Yeah.
And some of the Syrian refugees, the younger ones, you know, here and where they're staying is the only safe place for them.
Yeah.
That's the only place they feel safe. Like walking down South End High Street, no, they don't feel safe. But coming here, they do. And you know, we should celebrate that.
Oh, definitely. And that's something that I've heard from a lot of people, that they find here at the college it is a really safe and welcoming environment, and it makes me proud to work somewhere that promotes that and that makes people feel that way. I really like that.
Yeah, it's always a real mix of people, isn't it?
Yeah.
From middle-aged retired all the way to teens and everything in between.
Yeah, exactly. So, last question. Do you think your course has had an impact on your learners? I mean, we've kind of covered that, haven't we, in some of the answers that you've given?
Yeah, I would safely say yes. I mean, I think we've got an interview with one of my students I've got at the moment. Yeah, I sort of got a bit sort of choked up when she said, oh, this course has changed my life, where various health reasons she's not really worked. And she has picked up a lot of stuff very quickly, actually, in terms of IT, ICT. And you know, who knows what she's going to go on to do. And hopefully, you know, this will be a start of the next phase of her life.
Yeah.
And other people who are really appreciative and come back again and again, which says something positive, I think.
It's nice. I do like seeing... It's always lovely to see new learners, but I really enjoy when you see a new learner start a Ways to Wellbeing course and then that's it. They just want to keep coming back for more. And that's lovely to see that going on throughout the college. So we did interview a few students from the Ways to Wellbeing courses and that have done your courses as well, and ask them to tell us about their experience. So we are going to have a little listen to that now.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah.
You tell me what you think, but I think computers now are really becoming just as important as, say, a washing machine or a...
It is definitely.
Aren't they in the home? Definitely. And I think particularly for... We talk about your mental health, about being connected to people, finding out what's going on in the world.
Yeah.
Is having a computer helping you do all those things?
Oh, it helps me in lots of ways. It helps me also with my grandchild, my grandchildren.
Cool.
So it's just different ways. Yeah, it's just brilliant for your mental health.
Yeah.
Really helps me.
And what about you, Ray?
Yeah, I can communicate with my friends and also other organisations. If I need to, like, for instance, get a dental appointment, I can use my computer to actually get one. Or if I need to contact the GP, I can also use the computer instead of trying to hold on the line for about 20 minutes.
Yes.
I love hearing testimonials from students like that, because what they were discussing is the kind of topics that I would cover in a class, and I know you would as well. But I like that they mentioned the social aspect of it, and I keep bringing up the pandemic, but it's a really good example that being socially excluded when you are not confident in your digital skills. I know that a lot of people use Zoom to communicate with their family and video chatting over that period of time. So if you're not aware of how to do that, you're socially excluded, excluded immediately.
Mm.
And I think how scary a time that must have been as well, not just with everything that was going on, but things like being able to online shop. Well, if you don't know how to use the internet, then you're not going to be able to do that, which maybe to us, we might look at as something we just naturally do. But to different generations, that's something that is so unfamiliar to them. I think, being able to keep in contact with family via whether it's social media or video chatting or anything like that, using technology, so important. Hence why I like that we put on courses like that, to keep you in touch with family, friends and the community, what's going on, the news, things like that. Everything's instant online. I mean, if you've got something tragic that's gone on in the world, you find out within minutes online. It's there, you get a notification about it and it's there. Whereas newspapers, obviously, I know you get them every day, but I think just having all of that power in the palm of your hand with a smartphone, but not being able to use that, it's a bit scary.
I agree. I think, that sort of loneliness, pandemic and otherwise, that can be a killer, really. Yeah. And I think, yeah, being kind of feeling like you're clued in and included. I mean, I must say, I don't know, since the pandemic, looking at the news, that was quite freaky. I had to sort of avoid.
I did that too. I stopped. Too much. I stopped. And I will talk to my daughter about what's going on in the world, but she doesn't watch the news because I think, again, it can be quite terrifying, whatever your age, really. I mean, that student did just mention as well about her grandchildren. My daughter teaches my nan how to use the tablet and the smartphone. It's like, again, different generations. She just naturally picked it up. So I didn't show my daughter how to use a tablet. She taught herself. Obviously, I monitor her usage on there and kind of what she goes on to. But I love that she will then teach my grandparents how to use technology. My nan will go, oh, I need to send this to your mum. She goes, that's okay, I'll do it. Give it here, Nan. I'll show you. But I think, yeah, depending on your confidence with technology, being able to join in with your children and grandchildren using technology as well, because a lot of it's used for education now. So it can be really useful to know how to use different bits and pieces to be able to feel included in that activity. Yeah,
especially that, you know, that older generation didn't grow up with computers.
Yeah.
And I think various bits of our brains maybe close down a little bit as we get older.
Yeah.
Where the younger ones will pick something up and fly with it.
Yeah. It just comes naturally, doesn't it?
Yeah.
No, it's lovely to hear that. It is really nice. And it shows the impact that we're having as well. Yeah.
And I remember once I taught an ICT group, and it took about 3 weeks. And then one lady, 70s, I guess, she could log in herself. She didn't need any help from me onto the college system. And she was cheering and jumping around. And it was actually like, oh, you know what? That is a success.
Yeah.
Just being able to do that, which is a kind of beautiful thing, really.
Yeah.
My mum still struggles. Oh, my God. But, yeah, that's the nature of the beast, I suppose, isn't it? She should come here.
Exactly. Come and do a computing course. That's why my nan and granddad always laugh and say they end up getting their computing courses for free at home with me. Because I'll go over there and they go, right, what's the next lesson? What are we learning now? Apps today. How to go and order things on your apps. So, yeah. No, it is really, really lovely.
So tell me, do you go to, like, TrustLinks, and one of the reasons why you've come here, is that to sort of meet other people and to get out of the house and to do other things rather being stuck inside?
It does help a lot to come out to the college. It's such a wonderful place, and it's kept in a very, very good condition.
Good.
See,
good.
The reason I've got lots of health issues.
Right.
And I've done since I was 6 years old. So, and obviously that's stopped me from working and that. But basically, I've decided to do the course because you can do it from home.
Yeah.
And basically, it's really, really helped my mental health. It really has. And
In what way?
More confidence.
Right.
Socialising with people. Just learning new skills.
Okay.
And it really, really changed my life.
Oh, that's good, isn't it?
Really changed my life. And the tutor is amazing. He's a really good person.
Absolutely brilliant.
Brilliant, yeah.
Who was that? Dan?
Dan, yeah.
How much did he pay you to say stuff?
Doesn't need to.
No, he's really, really friendly. He's so good.
And he accommodates everyone brilliantly.
Yeah, very important, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
There you go. It sounds like you've got some super fans there.
Doesn't it?
Tutor of the Year Award.
Aw, aren't they lovely? Lovely Ray and Caroline, who have been a delight. And, that was really nice to hear that.
Isn't it lovely? I think as well, you do get that appreciation in class. I've had it before where students will thank you. But isn't it really nice to hear when you're not around and they're speaking to somebody else about it and giving that feedback about you?
When they say that you're brilliant And just for the record, I didn't pay them. That was just
that's just their own being cheeky,
wasn't it? Oof. But yeah, no, yeah, things like that. That's great. You know, it's priceless, really.
Yeah, so. No, it's really lovely to hear that, and the positive effect on Caroline's mental health that had, and her confidence. I think that's what I would always say. In particular with IT, is that I'm at the start of every lesson or every course, I would always say, what I can guarantee you are going to gain from this is confidence. And what that then enables you to do is to then go on to progress further with your digital skills because your confidence is improved. That's the most important thing, because then you can end up, actually, it's a lot of self-teaching. You can go away and learn things at home that you wouldn't have been confident enough to do beforehand, but you as a tutor can build that confidence for them. I always used to say when I was teaching iPad classes and they'd be scared to do anything on the iPad, and I'd say, the only way that you're going to break the iPad is if you throw it out the window right now or throw it on the floor. You're not going to break it from exploring. And what I'm going to give you is the confidence to explore. And I feel like that's really crucial. And you can hear it in the clip that we listened to, that it's the confidence that you've given them as well that I think is so important.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, on a slightly dour note, and, you know, just sort of warnings about scams and just watching what you're doing, what you're clicking on, what links you're opening, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Which seems to be becoming more and more prevalent.
I get them every day.
Yeah. You've got a package waiting for you, you've got to pay the excess or whatever it is. And, you know, sometimes you can see them looking a bit scared.
Yeah.
Because they're already scared about using the internet, etc.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's something we have to look at.
We do.
And be aware of.
I do like to promote internet safety within the circle of staff or in lessons that I've taught. And so I'll always say, look, please just ask me. If there's something you're unsure about, an email you've got, a text message you've got, please just ask me, because I will be able to help you with that. And it's just looking out for those certain common signs, isn't it?
Well, you can get emails from people you know. It says the name of someone you know, and then you look at it and think, what? And you go to block it, and then you see the actual email address is something completely random and dodgy. So little things like that. Trying to avoid situations where people... lose money or what have you.
Well, exactly, because I can completely understand why that would scare people, as you said, even more, that they don't want to use the internet at all. They just avoid it altogether because they think, well, no, I'm not going to see the benefits of it because they're so terrified something negative's going to happen. But that's why it's, like I say, so important to teach that internet safety so that you can be aware of what to look out for. And it's something that I know across college we teach, regardless of whether you teach IT or not. It's something that all our tutors promote as well. So, no, I do think that that's something really important. But yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Making a difference.
Exactly.
Making a difference, Jade.
Yeah. Well, thank you for having a chat with me today.
My pleasure.
It's been lovely. I mean, I know we casually chat regularly anyway, but it's nice to get an opportunity. I think this is the first time we've actually got to sit down and share maybe our experiences.
Probably,
yeah. And it's nice to get to do that. That's why I really like that we're doing these podcasts, because it's nice to get to discuss these kind of topics with each other and how we feel, and, like I say, reflecting on how the students feel as well. It's really good, isn't it?
Isn't it?
So thank you.
Celebrating the good things this college does.
Yes. So, no, I really appreciate you taking the time out today to come and chat with me.
My pleasure.
I'm sure this won't be the last time.
Indeed.
Okay.
And thanks to Maz.
Yeah. Okay, so that's our launch. Let us know what you think via our social media at The Wave Southend on almost everything. We've got plenty of content lined up and we're really excited to share it with you all. If you enjoyed, make sure to follow the podcast so you never miss an update. You've been listening to The Wave Southend. Have a great morning/evening/night.